It also brings up, what might be next for this subset of breast cancer, ER-positive, HER2-negative, particularly in terms of some of the strategies being used right now in metastatic breast cancer, just like what happened with Tamoxifen AIs, start out metastatic now in earlier adjuvant therapy. And of course, the CDK inhibitors, which I'm going to ask you about in a second, and whether those are going to maybe come into the adjuvant or neoadjuvant setting. But I have to tell you about this case that I heard from Matt Goetz from Mayo Clinic. So he has this young woman, 35 years old, ER-positive, HER2-negative, locally advanced breast cancer, axilla, nodes, et cetera, except she had a couple of bone mets. So she actually got endocrine therapy. She had ovarian suppression and an AI, but because she had the mets, she had the CDK inhibitors. Well, guess what? She had a CR in the breast and in the axilla. Of course, this is clinically. She hasn't been operating on because she has metastatic disease. But maybe you can chat a little bit about what CDK4/6 inhibitors are and whether maybe sometime in the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years, we're going to see those in the adjuvant and neoadjuvant setting.
Yeah, CDK4/6 inhibitors have been really a breakthrough drug in our treatment of patients with metastatic ER-positive breast cancer. It's interesting, the research in this area was really developed thinking more in terms of higher grade hormone receptor negative disease because, the CDK4/6 proteins are involved with cell cycle control. And so, when they are on, you have a very active cell in cycle. And so this was thought to be a very late common terminal point for multiple activating pathways. And if we inhibit that, we can maybe have an effect. The problem is for that to work, your retinoblastoma gene has to be functional and intact, and it tends to be lost or have problems in those higher grade tumors. And where it actually is present in its functional state is most often the ER-positive breast cancers. And those ER pathways converge on that same cell cycle pathway. So the combination of interruption of the ER pathway, whether you use fulvestrant, whether you use an aromatase inhibitor, you're trying to do the same thing, get less of a drive for the cycle to take place. If you then combine it with something that directly inhibits the cycle, there's been a marked potentiation of the activity of endocrine therapy by combining it with any one of the three drugs. And they actually do have single agent activity, though it's nowhere near what the combination is. Possible exception, abemaciclib seems to be quite active on its own, apparently more than the other two. But in combination, the data has really been quite remarkable for improvement, in progression-free survival. The really exciting thing that's just come out at ASCO was that we're actually seeing survival, improvement in survival in first-line metastatic ER-positive breast cancer, initially in the MONALEESA 7, in premenopausal women treated with ribociclib. That sort of brought up the question of, well, is this something about premenopausal patients? Is it ribociclib? But now we've heard reported that studies with abemaciclib that are in postmenopausal are also showing survival advantage. So the drugs clearly have been a game changer in our patients with metastatic ER-positive breast cancer. And the other nice thing about the medications is overall, they have a pretty good toxicity profile. So you get a very effective drug that's reasonably well tolerated. You got to bring that up into the early breast cancer setting.